Hello, hello. What's going on, people? Welcome to the Bravo Go Gaming Podcast. This is your boy, Shadow Dancer. I'm riding solo this week. No Rain Omega. My man seems to be MIA. Apparently pretty busy, so yeah. I'm going to have to go at it alone this week. Today's date being July 11th, 2020. I think this is like the 29th episode. Yeah, man. Just trying to keep it going. Hopefully, going at this alone will work. Gonna stick with the usual format of what I've watched and what I've played and maybe some light rumors, what's going on in the gaming world, what have you. But yeah, other than that, probably go keep it pretty short and sweet this week since I am alone. Hopefully, this will still be entertaining. Anyway, let's start with Watched. Kind of a light week for Watched, but I did manage to squeeze a few things in. So on Amazon Prime, or Amazon Video, I started with Seberg, John Seberg, starring Kristen Stewart, about the actress, the young actress who was, you know, surveillanced by the FBI, eventually went crazy over the shit, and apparently committed suicide over it. They did like a little movie on her. Now, I don't know how accurate the movie is to the real life story. And honestly, I don't know that much about the real life story. I just know she donated to the Panthers, which caused the FBI to look into her and, kind of like run a lot of surveillance on her, kind of like ran a smear campaign, kind of like tarnished her reputation. And the movie kind of follows that same thing. Again, I don't know how accurate it is, but yeah, it starts off with her and she's in Paris doing some movie, and eventually she wants to go to the States to, I forget why she's going to the States, but on the plane back to the U.S., she runs into Anthony Mackie's character, who's Hakeem, and you know, they're in first class or whatever, and Anthony Mackie is bitching because he's trying to get Malcolm X's wife into first class, and the stewardess ain't having it, and blah 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 blah. He's making a big scene, and Kristen Stewart is like, yeah, they can just have our seats. Anyway, they get off of the plane, and Anthony Mackie, whose character's name is Hakeem, by the way, he's doing like a photo shoot, taking pictures with some Black Panthers, and Jane, she comes up and gets in a photo and puts up the Black Panther, you know, Black Power Fist, which makes for a pretty good photo op, you know, all of these strong Black African men with afros sticking out, and you got the petite little cute white girl in front of them with her hand up. Pretty cool photo, honestly. But she was just showing support or whatever. And I guess, I don't know if this was implied in the movie anywhere, but, because she is married. She's married to an older guy, a French guy. I guess they're in an open relationship. And anyway, Kristen Stewart, she invites him to some party that she's having. And, yeah, is that how it happened? I think I'm getting it mixed up. Anyway, they end up hooking up and having an affair. And, you know, Hakeem is married. He's got a wife and he's got kids and shit. And she's got a kid. But I guess it doesn't matter as much since she's in an open relationship. Anyway, she's got the feds fucking monitoring her calls and listening in on her because of her involvement with the Panthers. She starts donating the money. Just trying to help out the cause, because, you know, she thinks she's doing the right thing, you know, fighting for the betterment of Black people and equal rights and this, that, and the third. She's young and she's, you know, eager to help, as, you know, young people tend to be around her age. I think she's like 19, 20 or something like that at the time. So you know how hopeful and helpful young people can be. And yeah, the FBI, they just they monitor her. They listen to all of her calls. They even listen to them having sex, and they record that shit and play it back to Hakeem's wife and send it to her. They pretty much trying to ruin her. Ruin her reputation, tarnish it, and smear her so, you know, she looks bad in the public. And it works. It happens. I guess she gets blackballed by Hollywood, and there's all of these rumors that she's pregnant with a Black Panther's baby, and she is pregnant, but I don't know if the movie goes into explicit detail who the father is. Anyway, she ends up having a miscarriage, and she attempts suicide, and all of that is blasted all over the media and all over the place, and they pretty much just drive this chick crazy with all of the surveillance, and they do one real foul thing to her. I won't get into for the sake of spoilers, but it's like super villain level of like, wow, that's really fucked up. Like, yeah. So if all of this is accurate, man, they really put this shit through it. Kind of fucked up, dirty and underhanded. And yeah, it drove her to the point of a suicide. I think she committed suicide at the age of 40, so pretty young. And yeah, she got kind of like shit roles after that in Hollywood, and yeah, pretty nasty stuff. As for the movie though, it was pretty good up until the third act, and then it kind of like fell apart. It's not terrible, but it doesn't stay consistently engaging. It doesn't stay consistently interesting. But I wasn't mad at it or anything. It was a cool watch, and yeah, I'm not mad at it. Kristen Stewart is actually really good though. I'm starting to like her. Like, the more I see her, I'm like, yeah, she's a pretty legit actress, man. She got some chops. What did I watch after that? Still on the Amazon tip, I pulled up on that Crawl movie. Crawl, the movie with all of the alligators and the fucking flood and yada yada yada. Yeah, I think it was a 2019 movie, which I've been meaning to watch that, but just kept putting it off. Saw it on Amazon. Was like, fuck it, I got an unusual fear of alligators, so let's fucking watch this movie. It should be interesting, right? Wrong. This movie is not that interesting. Not that good. Now, I don't know if it's rated. I don't know what the rating is. It seems like it's PG-13, though. I don't know. Could be rated R. But what really took me out of it, honestly, was the alligators themselves. And the fact that I wasn't really paying attention to it, if I'm being all the way honest. I had it on in like the background as I was doing other stuff. And I tend to do this with a lot of movies. Like, I'll turn it on and I'll let it start. And I'll get the premise. And then I'll go work on something else, play something else, or work out, you know, whatever. And then as the movie grabs me, as I'm kind of watching it, I'll settle down and get into it. That's been working out with me pretty well, trying to like multitask, right? But this movie I never got to like the grab phase where I got into it and started to pay attention to the movie more than the other thing I was doing. Yeah, that never happened. And yeah, I put that on the account of once the alligator showed up, I was like, they look kind of weird. I was like, why do they look so fucking smooth, like buttery? Why does it look so fucking smooth, man? Like the texture is all, I can't explain it, but it's some uncanny valley shit going on with the alligators in this movie. I'm wondering if it has anything to do with the budget. But the CGI, kind of whack. They animate well, like the way they move, but something about the way they look very video gamey. Can't really put my finger on it. Something to do with the texture work. It's almost too smooth. You know that look that movies get sometimes, CGI, where it's like, it's a little too smooth. Like, where are the rough edges? can't really articulate what I mean, but something about the way the alligators look just, and then from, you know, because I'm going to be honest, I didn't finish it, but up until the point I got to, it wasn't really any cool kills. There was a lot of people getting pulled underwater, and then you see like a blub, a puddle of blood in the water, and it was like, oh, well, I guess that thing is dead. I guess that dude is dead, right? Didn't really get to see much to the point that I got to. And also, the main character, I forget her name. Is it Haley? I think her name is Haley. Yeah. There's a point in the movie. Now, I get it. All movies do this. Main character, plot armor, right? Main character is probably going to make it. But there are ways around, you know, there are ways around making it silly. Like, she gets fucking bit real bad by an alligator. Almost, like, right when the action starts, almost immediately, she gets bit. I'm talking, like, full on. It looks like this thing had a full clamp, like, clamped all the way down on her leg, and nothing. Now, look, I'm not a fucking anthropologist. I don't know animals all like that, but, like, shit, man, I would think her leg would be fucked up. If not torn off, at least, like, crushed, damaged, like, bones fucked up. Nothing, she's fine. And I'm like, whoa, like, wait a minute. Like, I'm pretty sure that thing fucking bit her. Like, she would be fucked up if I bit her in the leg like that. Like, she, like, she would probably not be able to walk. Like, a goddamn alligator? Are you serious? And yeah, that kind of threw me out of the movie a little bit. Almost immediately. And then there was another scene with some fucking extras. You know they go get offed. There's these people, like, robbing this, like, convenience store that's, like, across the street from her house. As people tend to do when shit floods, right? Bunch of fucking looters. And there's one character who's just... There's three characters looting the store, right? Two of the characters are telling the third character, come on, man, we gotta get out of here, we gotta go. And this dude is getting fucking amazed by every little thing he sees in the store. Oh shit, Slim Jims, let me grab a million of these. Oh shit, Twinkies, let me grab 12 boxes of these. Like, the motherfucker never seen a Slim Jim or, you know, Nihilators before. Like, he's fucking in there losing his mind. And of course, while his back is turned, and I don't know how he didn't hear this, motherfucking chick gets grabbed in the boat that they supposed to get in behind him, and he doesn't hear it. Like, he doesn't hear this chick getting mauled to death. Like, okay. It's just like little shit like that, man. I'm like, yeah, this is kind of dumb. Which is fine, you know. This is essentially a horror movie. Horror movies can be dumb. But it wasn't really winning me over. Let's just say that. And eventually I turned it off. And I have not gone back to it since. So, yeah, the verdict is still out on Crawl. Which is funny. I thought I was going to really like that movie because of my fucking... how I am with alligators. I'm scared, definitely afraid of those things. Can't explain to you why, but yeah. What else did we watch here? So I ran over to Netflix not soon after that. And throughout the week, well, throughout the past 2 weeks, honestly, I've been watching that Warrior Nun show. It's a new Netflix original, I think. I don't know if it is it based on a comic? More than likely. Almost everything is based on a fucking comic or graphic novel now. Anyway, it stars this character, Ava, who is, I guess at the beginning of the show, she commits suicide because she's, like, she's bed stricken. She's paralyzed from the waist down. I don't know if it's, is that quadriplegic or paraplegic? I don't even remember. Anyway, she's paralyzed from the waist down. Pretty depressed about it. Parents are dead, died in a real bad car wreck, and now she's dead too. And through a sequence of events, she gets this halo, actual angel's halo, thrust into her backside. And I won't get into reasons of why that happened. That's all super spoiler territory. But anyway, this fucking angel halo brings her back to life and gives her super strength, super speed. Wait, I don't know if it gives her super strength, actually. But she's super durable. She heals fast. And she can, like, phase through solid objects. Sort of like a Kitty Pryde kind of type deal from the X-Men. So she's got abilities from this thing, from this Angel Halo. And, yeah, that's pretty much how the story starts. She's brought back to life with this thing, given a second chance at life. And yeah, with the halo comes demons and other warrior nuns and all of this hoopla. Now, I like the premise of the show, but man, it's so fucking boring. It's like the first four episodes, you waiting for something to happen. Because it's called Warrior Nun, and you think it's going to be fucking going down. It's going to be about these badass chicks fighting these demons. But up until that point, it's this chick running around. Because this chick, Ava, I don't even know if she believes in God or anything like that. She's kind of like off on her own, doing her own thing. And the church is looking for her. So, like, that's like the first half. And then, of course, they find her and they take her in. And you got your usual tropish characters with the show, you know, with the nuns. You got the badass that don't really work with any of the other nuns. You got the nice one that immediately welcomes her with open arms. You got the salty chick, because she was the next in line to get the halo. She's mad because this newcomer got it and she's not one of us. And blah, 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 blah. Same old archetypes from every other show you've seen before, which is fine as long as your action and pace is keeping up. You know, as long as you got a steady pace going, I don't mind the usual tropes and shows and things like that. But this show ain't keeping up its end of the bargain, man. And ain't no warrior nothing going on. It's just a whole lot of talking, exposition, and kind of like unearned drama. Like, all of these chicks immediately become close, and they immediately accept her into the sisterhood, and there's all this camaraderie that she don't even honestly even earn. And yeah, it was just really, really, really boring. And I just, for some reason, I kept giving it chances. Like, I got all the way to the last episode of the season before I turned it off. And it's just not working, man. It's just not working. Fucking slog. Bad CGI. Honestly, it don't look like a Netflix original. It looks like a CW show. As far as like budget goes, and this level of CGI, it's like, what the hell, man? And the writing is kind of stiff and wooden and kind of drab. I don't really like Ava as a main character, as our the driving force behind the show. She's kind of a brat, man, and I don't know, maybe that's the point, but it's like, fuck, man, you're giving a second chance at life with all of these new powers and abilities and shit, and you kind of want to act like a bitch about it. It's like, a completely unlikable character. And yeah, I don't know why I stuck with it for as long as I did. I guess I kind of like the aesthetic. The actual outfits and the battle outfits that the nuns wear are kind of cool. And yeah, chicks fighting demons should make for a really cool show, but they fucking refuse to let them fight, man. It's like, goddamn, all this fucking talking, man. Let's get on with it. So, yeah, Warrior Nun was a bust, at least so far. I can't see the last episode bringing it all around, so yeah, definitely not my cup of tea. And yeah, man, that's all I watched this week. That was pretty much it, or for the past 2 weeks, I should say. We did miss a week last week. I want to watch the new Netflix show though, or the new Netflix movie. I guess it's based off of a comic with Clarice Theron. I forget what that shit is called. but it just came out like, shit, I can look for it now. It just came out a couple days ago, and it's about these immortals and bringing new people into the fold. There's some new chick in the old guard is what it's called. Yeah, looks like a pretty good action. Looks like a pretty good action movie. Honestly, Netflix been kind of bringing it with the straight up action movies. That one with Chris Hemsworth, man, that shit was alright. But yeah, I'm gonna probably watch that today, The Old Guard. See what that's about. I guess it's trending right now, popular on Netflix. I don't know, we'll see. Hopefully that turns out well. Other than that though, man, yeah, pretty light week on watch. I keep getting disappointed, which is not really motivating. When you sit down to watch something and it's sorry, it make you even less inclined to go and sit down and watch something else. So yeah, that's how that went. Hope that wasn't too rambly, y'all. I haven't done this alone in a while, so it's been kind of weird. I'm gonna go ahead and take a break, come back and get into what I played. So yeah, be right back, people. Myself, we are going at it alone. Yeah, let's get into this. What we played, Ordeal. What I played, Ordeal. Let me bring up my notes here. What do I want to start with? I guess I start with ESO. Yeah. So I got the Elder Scrolls expansion about a week ago. Now, I was under the impression, for whatever reason, that if you bought the latest expansion, you got all of the other expansions with it. What is the latest expansion called? Is it Greymoor or is it Elsewhere? I always get them shits mixed up. I think it's Greymoor, right? That's Skyrim. Look at me trying to remember my Elder Scrolls lore. Anyway, yeah, Greymoor. Pulled up on Greymoor, thinking that I was going to get Elsewhere with it, and a Necromancer class, because that was the last expansion, and the main thing I wanted was the fucking Necromancer class. I don't give a damn about Skyrim, or the story content in Elder Scrolls Online. I do not care, right? And man, what an ordeal this was. Just trying to figure out which version to buy, to see what came with what. Like, a lot of storefronts need to figure this out. Games like Destiny 2 is really bad about this. I don't know how it is for the Division 2, because I got the fucking whatever special edition that came with the expansion, or that came with the season pass. So I don't know how that works there, but this is a problem with a lot of these games that keep adding shit on multiple expansions. Like, it could be really confusing to know what you're supposed to buy. Anyway, I bought Greymoor Collector's Edition upgrade, I guess. Which came with a few trinkets that I don't really give a damn about. I really just wanted the Necromancer class and maybe the new continent to go and explore. Yeah, had that all fucked up. So I got Greymoor, which I don't really care about. I didn't really care all that much about. Did not have the Necromancer. Couldn't figure out why. They moved all of that stuff into the Crown Store. So you can't buy it on PSN. You have to buy it on the Crown Store with crowns. So I said, okay, that's $50 down the drain. Don't really care about Greymoor. All right, let's spend this little $15 to get these crowns to fucking, you know, get the Necromancer class. Oh, the best way to get crowns is to subscribe for a month, you know, to ESO Plus. Guess I'll do that. That didn't work. Wasn't accepting my card for whatever reason. The card that I just used to buy Greymore. It's not working. It's up to ESO. So I'm already high. And you got to understand, this was after a 70 gig update. So I had to update the game. Already spent $50 on something that I'm not all that interested in. And now the Crown Store not working. I'm like, holy shit. Like, what the fuck, man? So I have to go into PSN and buy the crowns separately, not from ESO Plus, but just flat 1500 crowns for $15. I had to do that. Ultimately ripping myself off because it's cheaper to subscribe and, you know, get the crowns through your subscription and use it that way. Get all of the perks for being subscribed. Nope. I get ripped off because for whatever reason it's not accepting my card and blah 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 blah. So I'm already like hot going into this. I'm already agitated and I don't really want to play, right? It was just really, really discouraging. All of this storefront confusion. This expansion being moved off of the PSN store, put into the Crown store, blah 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 blah. All over the place. But I finally get it all together. I finally figure it out. I get the Necromancer class. Okay, yeah, let's make a new character. Let's do this. And I forgot how fucking just slow and sleepy and, man, Elder Scrolls Online is a really hard game for me to play solo. I forgot how much, I don't want to say I don't like it, because I've played it a lot, man. I've got multiple max level characters. I don't have a crazy champion ranking or anything like that, but I do have multiple max level classes. I think all of the classes up until this point, except for the Nightblade. So I've played it quite a bit, but I guess I'm in a real particular place when I play it. Like, I have to be absolutely positively bored out of my mind to play this game. And yeah, I was not really enjoying it. Like, the moment gameplay, I don't like it all that much in ESO. It's really ugly. It's rough, man. As far as like animations go, and right off of the bat of creating a character, I can't really make anything aesthetically pleasing. Like, it's why I play so many female characters in that game, because that's the only way to make the characters look decent, right? Is to make either just a oversized Nord, they look all right, and the females, it's like everybody else just looks kind of awful, man, kind of horrible, especially the males. So aesthetically, like right off the bat, I'm like, ugh, I can't get anything to work. And yeah, like 2 or 3 minutes in, I'm like, and I'm playing on Skyrim, the Skyrim map, and it's like, yeah, all of this looks familiar, but I'm kind of doing the same thing I've been doing. Like, yeah, I'm playing with a Necromancer, but I'm playing a stamina build, and I'm playing with a greatsword, a two-handed weapon, and it's like, I've been using two-handed weapons since I started playing ESO. So it's essentially the same moveset. I'm going into medium armor, which I've been using, and it's like, I feel like I'm kind of going through emotions, like I'm kind of doing the same thing. So yeah, after all of this trouble of buying the Necromancer, after all of this confusion, I'm like, well, fuck it, if I'm just going to play the same, I might as well be playing with my Templar, right? My Stamplar, my Spamplar, whatever you want to call it, like I might as well just be on my fucking Templar, right? So I log into him and I just start fucking playing with him, and it's like, man, now it really feels like I'm doing the same thing. Same fucking moveset, same rotation, yada yada yada, that I've been doing the past however many years I've been playing off and on at ESO. Yeah, man, not a good first impression for Greymore. And I know a lot of people like it, but man, I don't. Especially going at it alone, it's like, oh, it's just so rough. The edges are so rough. What I do like about ESO, the good things about it, the actual building of a character, putting together a certain set of skills, a certain armor class, you know, with a certain actual class, and combining those skills to make something unique to your playstyle is actually pretty fucking cool. The problem is that it's been years and years and years, and they still haven't added a new weapon skill line. It desperately needs a new weapon playstyle. I don't know if that's another ranged physical weapon or another a new melee skill line. Something. I think hand-to-hand casting should be like a thing. I don't know what kind of skills that could have, but something. We need something else. You know, it's been bow for ranged. And, you know, since I play a lot of stamina, it's been bow and greatsword. It's been a lot of that, man. It's just been a whole lot of that. Like, just give me a spear or something. Something else. Like, that was the main reason I wanted to play Necromancer, because, like, I wanted a new skill line. You know, I'm getting tired of using the same skills over and over. And while the Necromancer is cool, he's got some cool shit. It's like, I think I'm like level 15, 16 at this point on Necromancer. So not that far in, but pretty cool already. But we definitely need some new skill lines, man. They need to really look into that. Instead of adding all of these story beats and content, like, we need, like, maybe go back to the basics and add some more skill lines. Like some default skill lines that are, you know, universal to every class in the game. Yeah, I would like that. So yeah, all in all, ESO, it didn't go too well, man. I still been logging on every day and, like, sort of like tinkering with it, mainly fucking leveling up my mount on all of my characters, which that's fucking time consuming as hell. It makes me really, like, I really, really wish that ESO had just the one character thing from Final Fantasy and just let me fucking switch classes. And, like, as I'm out of combat, I could just switch classes like that. But, man, this whole having multiple characters thing is kind of a hassle. Mainly just on a technical level, like a lot of loading. Because I'm just loading up characters to do little things on them and then logging out. I will say this, though. One last thing about ESO. They had, like, a Battleground event going on. And I jumped into that. Some light PvP. That's kind of fun. It's goofy and it's wacky. And it's, like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing there. But it was fun. And kind of a silly, lighthearted way. And you got rewards for it. So it was like, fuck it. Yeah. ESO. I remember liking it. I remember liking it a lot more than I do now. Like, I don't know what happened. But I am solo, and that's a huge thing. And I also don't like the way, here I am. I'm still talking about ESO. Shit. Another thing I don't like about ESO is, like, when you really learn how to play, you start getting into rotations and things like that. Coming off of Final Fantasy and how that game looks, like, just, like, visually and animation wise, fuck, man, ESO is rough. Like, it looks worse as you learn how to play, because you're doing a lot of, like, animation canceling and weapon switching, and you weaving in light attacks in between every other skill and things like that, just to really, like, try to, like, maximize your DPS. And it looks like your character is fucking twitching and fucking spazzing out and switching weapons. It looks so goddamn goofy. It's like, it looked worse and worse the better you get at it. It doesn't have that nice correlation that a lot of games have, whereas, like, let me think of a good example. Like Tekken, for example. I know that's an odd comparison, but high-level Tekken is, like, elegant and, like, is beautiful. I love watching it. You see somebody that really know how to wave dash and Korean step and this, that, and the third. It's like, it's pretty. It's like, man, that looked really tight what they doing. Or if you watch somebody that's playing, like, take whatever Marvel game, if they know how to wave dash and move in and out real good, and, you know, they know these extended long juggles and combos and things like that, and in Infinites, it's like, wow, that looks really impressive. It has the opposite effect in ESO. It's like the higher level you get, it looks fucking goofy. You see somebody that really know how to play, it just looked like the character is just fucking spazzing out, and I absolutely can't stand it from an aesthetic level. It's like puke. Anyway, that was ESO. Hopefully that'll get better. As you know, I get some other people to get back into it. Hopefully that'll change. Okay. Moving on. Dragon Quest XI. I finally finished Dragon Quest XI. Well, not finished. Okay. There's a lot of post-game content after you finish the story mode in that game. And I don't know how many hours it is, but I guess you gotta work a lot more to get the true, real ending. I got the basic ending. Yeah, so I got to technically, air quotes, in-game. I'm at that point. Now, I don't know if I'll keep going. It depends on how much more game it is. I'm kind of interested to see what happens. But yeah, let me back up. Dragon Quest XI, man. This was my second time playing it, for the most part. I didn't realize how close I was to the end the first time I tried it, because I had it on PS4, the original release, and just for whatever reason, I got rid of it. Ended up getting it again on the Switch a couple weeks ago, and I've just been playing it like crazy. I've had this real, like, nagging JRPG itch. I've been buying them like crazy. I've been playing them like crazy. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, man, Dragon Quest XI was pretty fucking good, man. Especially the second half of the game, because it has I'm gonna get into spoilers here. Some light spoilers. It has an event at the midpoint of the game where you think it's gonna be over, but it's not. And you think you go win and finish the game, but you don't. It kind of has the opposite effect, and the world is affected in a pretty negative way by the things that happen. I love scenarios like this, by the way, and games where, you know, the world altering event, and then like it actually changes said world. A lot of people either die or go away, and the world is less populated, or things are damaged and changed in a way that's it completely changes the way the landscape in the game and things like that. Like, WoW's Cataclysm, all of the work that went into destroying the old world and things like that. I'm really into shit like that, like world altering changes. I love that shit. This game has something similar. It's not quite as drastic. It is narratively, like, a lot of shit happened, but you don't see a whole lot of it in the world. The world does get more dangerous as far as, like, enemies go. Like, the enemies get stronger and they're a little more menacing. Well, as menacing as a fucking Dragon Quest enemy can be, but yeah. And I've always liked that sort of thing in RPGs. You know, the world-defining, changing event, and you actually see it in game at some point. And they also compound that with another thing that I really like in anime and video games and things like that, is they do a time skip. And I love time skips, man. Going from one season to the next and seeing how the characters that you've grown to like, see how they grow, what they've been up to, what new skills they know, and all of that shit. I love that shit, man. I love that shit. Side note, this is one part where I think Final Fantasy 15, I don't know why I thought of this, but this is one point where I think Final Fantasy 15 really, really, really fucking dropped the ball, man, because they do a time skip, and they do like I think it's like 10-year time skip, and you come back, and it's like, yeah, Noctis look different, but don't nothing change, don't nobody else change, and the world really ain't no different, and that was like the perfect opportunity to clean that game up, and reconnect with the characters, see what they've been up to, see what new skills they know. Nope, none of that. Let's just rush to the end. Fuck, man. Waste of potential. Anyway, as for Dragon Quest XI, they handle it a little bit better. Now, I don't know how long it is, the time skip. I don't know if it's like a year or whatever, but you reconnect with the old characters. And you reconnect with a, spoilers, you reconnect with an old enemy who joins the party. And I also love that shit, like, during that time, being away, he or she, they have a change of heart in that time. And it's like, oh, well, now I want to help you. And, you know, y'all fight together and all of that is fucking cool. Ooh. This character ended up being one of the better characters in my party lineup. So, not only did it work out narratively, but it worked out in the gameplay space as well. It's like, yeah, man, that was fucking cool. Like, I like that shit. And yeah, man, I really, really like time skips that's done well. You have to go all the way back through the world and, like, pretty much reconnect your party. And it's like, it's in a different order and it's in a different fashion than you originally got all of them. And yeah, you just get to, like, see what they was up to while you was gone or whatever. And that's just cool to me. Some characters got better arcs than the others, though, like Eric's, who is my motherfucking boy. That was one of my main party members. He had kind of a stronger arc than a lot of the other characters. Like Serena's wasn't really all that well done. Neither was Jade's, but Eric's was really cool. Who else? My boy Siv. His was pretty good. Yeah. I mean, it was still cool to see all of them, though, and see what they were up to. I guess the Switch version added way more side content for all of the side characters. Like, while the main character was away, this is what these characters were up to. And it was, like, maybe, like, an hour each for every character. Or almost every character, I should say. Which, you know, that was cool to see. You actually get to play as them for a little bit, like, without the main party, and some of these characters get all new parties of their own for these small sections. It's kind of cool to see, man. All in all, though, from what I've played, again, I have not done the post-game stuff, but the 50, I think it was like 60 hours I got out of it, pretty fucking strong, man, pretty fucking solid, just straight up traditional turn-based JRPG, which was, just a really, really gorgeous game. I love the art style. Kind of took a while for the wheels to get turning, like, narratively, because, you know, Dragon Quest is really standard up until the twist, and then it gets good. It was pretty much the same here. I say my only complaint is that it's pretty easy. At least on the standard difficulty, and at least with the because I'm pretty sure the post game stuff is more challenging. That's usually how JRPGs work. But yeah, like, the main story is pretty easy. That's probably my only complaint. Not enough fights where you have to use the full extent of the battle system, because it actually has a. You can use all of your party members. Well, you can only have four active, but you can use all of the party members in a single fight. And I love JRPGs that do that. Let you swap characters in and out for these turns and things like that. Very Final Fantasy X. I like that. And not enough fights that I've done so far in the game require that. There was a handful where it was like, okay, all of my physical fighters' health is low. You know, maybe one or two of them are dead. I got to bring in my dedicated healers. Got to sub them out for a bit. You know, got to bring in my support people to buff up the attackers I do got left. Like, I like making all of those, like, tactical choices, especially during boss fights. Which I also have to say, Second half of the game, after the time skip, is fucking riddled with boss fights. Man, it was, they were like back to back to back boss fights. Like, I love that shit. Of all varying degrees of sizes and shapes and sizes and things like that. I love that shit. I love how boss written the second half of the game is. And yeah, man, I've been kind of on a Dragon Quest kick these past couple weeks. And this was definitely a highlight. Yeah, if you like JRPGs, man, traditional, with, you know, where you don't need a fucking uber crazy story, you just need strong mechanics and, you know, solid characters to carry a game, if that's what you're into, Dragon Quest XI is a really good example. Now that I got that out of the way, though, I'm probably gonna go back to Xenoblade Chronicles remaster, because I kind of put that down for Dragon Quest. I was either considering that, or I know this is a lofty. I'm like stalling on doing it because of how fucking long the game is. But Persona 5 Royal, I've also been kind of looking at, because I did not finish the original Persona 5. It was just too fucking long, man. I was pretty deep in. I was maybe 60 hours in, and I just lost the willpower. Eventually ended up trading in the game. And yeah, I was like, oh, well, I'll just play Royal when that comes out, you know, and I'll continue it from there. And I had somebody tell me, like, no, you can't use your old save file. I was like, fuck. Like, I'm going to have to start over and do all of that over again. But I think I might be able to do it. I'm pretty reinvigorated on the JRPG kick. That's one of my top considerations, though, is there's Persona 5 Royal, Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive, Fire Emblem Three Houses, which I'm honestly only like six, I was only like 6 hours into, so I can totally start that one over and do that over again. What's the other one I was thinking of? Trials of Mana, or just wait for Bravely Default 2. Each one of those might be next. I don't know. If not all of them. I did play a little bit of Nioh 2 in preparation of Ghost of Tsushima, which comes out next week. Just trying to get a little samurai lick in, you know, flavor. Man, is that game fucking hard. Like, Jesus Christ. It's so tough. Way harder than Sekiro. Way harder than Sekiro, man. Either that or, like, my build is severely fucked up. I don't know which one it is, but, like, I turned it back on the other night, man. And I just remember, like, yeah, I was on here getting, like, one-shot and two-shot by a lot of stuff. Like, no wonder I put this down. I played it for a couple hours last night, though, and I managed to inch a little further into the story mode. I beat a pretty challenging boss, only to fight that nigga again in the next stage in the submission. Which was fucking awful. They gave me that dude back to back. This old Sub-Zero glacier looking motherfucker they had me fight. I was stuck on that dude for a while. But yeah, I managed to get through him. That game has been frustratingly hard, though. I usually like difficult games, but that's like, man, getting one shot and two shot is like, that's not fun. That's not always fun. And I'm having kind of a build crisis. Like, I don't know what the fuck to do with my build. So, there is that. As far as play go, though. As far as played goes, though. That was it. Just a whole lot of Dragon Quest, man. Yeah. I am considering, as far as other games go, I probably shouldn't buy anything with Ghost so close, but I was also looking at Doom Eternal. It's like, man, I fucking miss Doom. Like, I still have not played that game. Crazy enough, though, when I checked all of the channels, it was still $60. Like, is you niggas crazy? Like, shouldn't that game be like $30 at this point? What the fuck is going on? But yeah, definitely getting ghosts. Although I am worried about it, I don't think the combat just don't look that, it don't look that tight to me. Looks a little loosey-goosey, but we'll see. Yeah, that's been it as far as games go. Damn, 28 minutes. Going strong out here. I'm gonna go ahead and take one more break. Over here, fucking losing it, man, doing this shit alone. It's, ugh, my voice, my breath. I need to go take a little sip, y'all. So, yeah, I will be right back. We're back. We are back. Last and final segment. Go get into some rumors and some news and whatnot. Before all that, though, I want to say there was something else I played that I completely forgot about. Pokemon Shield for the Nintendo Switch. Good buddy of mine let me borrow it. Knowing I never played a traditional Pokemon game before, he let me hold it. Monday? Yeah. So it's been a couple days now. And I've played it a grand total of about 20 to 30 minutes. I must say, I don't want to sound like I'm hating y'all, but this is it. This is the big deal. This is what all the kerfuffle is about, huh? This Pokemon game is, this is the work. I gotta say, I'm not really seeing it, man. I don't get it. Like, this is the big deal. This is the big phenomenon. I mean, I guess it would be cool from a presentation standpoint if it was a handheld game, but this is like a console, full-on console version, and it's not really that impressive, especially from a presentation standpoint. No voice acting, no VA. Of course, we have a silent protagonist. The game starts off fairly basic. You're watching like a big tournament. You're watching a big Pokemon battle in the stadium. I guess it's between two popular trainers. I gotta preface this by saying I don't know shit about Pokemon, y'all. So yeah, bear with me here. This is probably gonna be painful to a lot of y'all, if it's even a lot of y'all listening. But anyway, Pokemon, it's just not, I don't know, man. This seems so basic. So basic. Like a basic turn-based system with basic elemental affinities and, you know, pocket monsters that evolve at a certain point. Granted, I'm not that far in, but it's not doing itself any favors for trying to drag me in. First of all, there doesn't seem to be any, like, real serious central conflict. Which is kind of something that I need to bank on in RPGs. Like, even if it's just a typical hero having his hometown burnt down and I go out to find the motherfuckers that did it, like, I need some sort of conflict. Like, this game seems really, juvial and, dare I say, kiddie? I can't think of a better word than that, but it seems really, 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 really low stakes. And I don't know if I can fuck with low stakes in a role-playing game. I just don't know if I can do it. I only played it that one session, that Monday night, and I have not played it since. I have no, like, desire or drive to go back to it. It's really fucking weird. I also don't really like the designs of Pokemon. It's a little too cutesy for me, so that doesn't really help. So art style, presentation, and narratively, it's not really doing anything to hook me. And if, like, the combat was, like, amazing, then maybe I would be, like, into it more. But I have no It has no hooks for me. Like, I don't, like, it doesn't even have the legacy thing for me. Like, I could see you being into it if you played it this whole time up until now, like, just, you know, playing it for tradition's sake, but I don't even have that to go off of. So, as a brand new person trying out Pokemon, it was kind of a complete wash. Absolutely dull. Pretty fucking boring, if I'm being all the way honest. So, yeah, I don't know what the big deal is with Pokemon. I should probably do my research, though. Maybe play it a little bit more. Because I don't really know how this game was received in the pantheon of, like, Pokemon games. I don't know if this is one of the worst ones. Because, you know, that can happen sometimes. You come to a series late, and you might not necessarily... The game that you play might not necessarily paint the best picture of the series as a whole. I can see that happening with something like Final Fantasy. Like, if you just came in and played 15, you'd be like, this is it? Like, Final Fantasy fucking sucks, but, you know, that's not necessarily the case. So maybe I should go back. I do have Pokemon Diamond somewhere for the DS. I don't know what I did with it. I got it somewhere. That was also a gift from a friend. But yeah, I should probably do my research, see what the best game is, the most real well-received game is, and try that one. Because this one is just, I don't see it happening. I just don't see it happening. And yeah, also played that, which I completely forgot about. Alright, let's get into these Yumas. The last couple of weeks, last 2 weeks have been kind of fucking hectic on the gaming front when it comes to all of this sexual assault, sexual harassment, and rape allegations all throughout various communities, companies, and gaming scenes. It hit the Smash Brothers scene pretty hard. Some high profile people got accused. I'm gonna try not to name any names, but yeah, a lot of high profile people getting pinged for you know, sexual harassment or sexual assault or, you know, attempted sexual interactions, a lot of times with minors. Some really, really ugly stuff. Yeah, and it's been kind of running rampant through the Smash community for the past week. It also affected the fighting game community in a pretty big way in regards to Evo. Again, I'm not going to say any names, but if you follow any of this stuff, you know what's going on. Evo, because of all of this, has been officially canceled this year. That shit is, even an online tournament, donezo. That shit is no Evo this year. I'm going to count all of this bullshit. Pretty ugly stuff. Some shit that happened years ago. Not justifying it or anything, but... It, you know, it is coming back. You know, a lot of this stuff is coming out, coming to light. Of course, there's been a handful of popular, prominent YouTubers have been getting dinged for different things. A lot of this stuff being on different levels. I want to clarify that. Like, you know, sexual harassment, very different than sexual assault. And sexual assault, very different from full-on rape. So this is why I'm not naming any names, because I don't want to cloud all of that and put all of that together, you know, because a sexual harassment, you know, complaint is very different than full-on assault. Two very different things. We don't want to put all of that in the same bag. So, but yeah, a lot of prominent YouTubers getting dinged for that. A lot of back and forth on Twitter, you know, people coming out. A few stories about, like, a lot of stories coming out of Ubisoft itself. Also with, you know, charges of sexual assault, rape, etc., etc. Pretty crazy stuff, man. All in all, like, the stories have been popping up over and over again throughout the week, throughout last week, like, just from everywhere, seemingly a new story every day. Pretty fucked up stuff, man. Like, damn, it's like rampant at this point. But I guess it's cool that people are feeling the need to, the more stories come out, the more people feel encouraged to come out with more stories. So I guess that's a good thing. And yeah, it sucks, but I guess people need to get the shit off of their chest, and motherfuckers is listening, so, you know, now's the time. In lighter news, we heard rumblings about this earlier in the week. I guess there was a leak, but Far Cry 6 is a thing. Far Cry 6 is official. I guess we go find out more on Sunday. Ubisoft has something planned, some sort of event. I don't know if it's an E3 thing or what, but we're supposed to be getting more about Valhalla news. Far Cry 6 leaked. More than likely some Watch Dogs information, etc., etc. They're big games. Now I don't know what year Far Cry 6 is supposed to come out, but I would imagine it would be 2021, right? They would want it this year, because they already have, they've already got Valhalla and Watch Dogs this year, so they should be pretty much set as far as, the big games go. I guess another little leak that came out is that Valhalla is dropping November 17th, so there's that. No date, as far as I know, on Watch Dogs, though. Maybe we'll find out Sunday. And other gaming news, this is another rumor. No validity to this. Just something I picked up off of Twitter sphere, Twitterverse. Microsoft's event is July, I think, 23rd, so a little later in the month than I initially thought. But some rumors have been rumoring that PlayStation is going to do an event on the 13th. And maybe not like a full-on event, but they were saying that, it's been some rumblings that they didn't really reveal everything. They didn't play their full hand as far as games they wanted to show go. And on the 13th, right before the Microsoft event, they're willing to talk about price and release date and all of that good stuff. Now, again, take this with a grain of salt. This is just Twitter rumblings. But as of right now, that's the word on the street. July 13th, PlayStation is going to have something to say about pricing and release dates and this, that, and the third. Allegedly, the all-digital PlayStation will be not a lot cheaper, but somewhat cheaper than PlayStation 5. PlayStation 5 physical will be, maybe like $100 more, $150 more. And they're going to have the digital only more in line with Microsoft's cheaper version of their system that they have coming out, which the name escapes me now. It has a code name at the moment, and I cannot remember it at the moment. But rumors is Microsoft is going to have like a $300 box, which is a lot more, downscale from their mainline Series X, which will probably be in the 4 or 5 range. They're trying to give people a nice price for an entry point on a new console. And I guess Sony wants to have its digital only to somewhat combat that. I don't know if they can go as cheap as $300. I don't know if they can do that price wise, at least at the moment. Doesn't seem all that realistic with all the new hardware and new tech that's going to be in the PS5, but yeah, we'll see, man. Interesting stuff. Seems like Microsoft is going to have the edge in price this time around. And, PlayStation has branding market share at the moment, so we'll see how all of this shakes out, how all of this plans out. This is already this generation, before it even started, is a lot more interesting, or a lot more of an even fight, I'll say, than last generation was. Microsoft didn't even get the they fucking tripped at the starting line, like right when the gun went off, the niggas fell face first. This time should be a little bit more even, so it'll be a lot more interesting. and it that only makes it better for us, the fucking consumers. So, what else we got in gaming news? I think that's it. Yeah, Nintendo's been oddly quiet about this whole their latest Nintendo Direct. We haven't really heard anything. They haven't really released anything. So it's been kind of quiet on the Nintendo front. A little discouraging. The Final Fantasy 14 5.3 has been pushed to, what is it, August 12th, I think it is. initially supposed to come out in mid-July. It's got pushed back because, you know, all of the COVID shit. Everybody having delays and setbacks and yada yada yada. Their entire the Final Fantasy 14 team got entirely set back by this whole thing. So our usual patch rollout schedule is going to be a little delayed and a little different. It's probably even going to affect the next expansion, so things are going to be moving a little slower. Which is fine, you know, the safety of the team comes first, this, that, and the third. It's just cool that they still willing to fucking work on it, you know, and they didn't stop production completely. So, yeah, we gotta wait a little longer before 5.3. Let me see here. I didn't write much else down as far as stories go. A lot of PS5 rumors. We saw the box art, the new box art for the PS5 stuff. Pretty much the same. We just got like a nice white border over the top of the PlayStation box, the new PlayStation boxes now. I actually kind of like it. I think it's aesthetically pleasing. The white with the blue, with the black. I think it's a nice combination of colors. Yeah. Kingdoms of Amalur, Re-Reckoning. Huh. That's a hell of a name for a remaster. Yeah, that'll be out in August. Well, I thought I had some new info on that, but I guess I don't. That's a really good game, though, the original Kingdoms of Amalur. I'm glad it's getting a, It's getting an expansion. Huh. An expansion to a remaster of an old game. Kind of cool. Yeah, Kingdoms of Amalur, man, was a pretty good game. It was one of those games that it was a shame that it didn't get more recognition and it didn't get a second shot, it didn't get a sequel, because for a first outing, a first try, it was really, really, really fucking good. And it had excellent combat. Story, dialogue, VA, all of that was a little mid-budget, it was a little mid-tier, along with the visuals, but, man, the combat engine was just so, so good, especially for, like, an open-world RPG. Yeah, it had one of the better combat engines out there, so it's cool to see that not only is it getting a re-release, a remaster, it's getting a remaster. They're also doing an expansion, so that's cool. That's something to look forward to. And I'm pretty sure it's gonna come out at a reduced price point, so that's also a good thing. Yeah, check it out, people, if you like open world RPGs. Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning. I'll probably snag that one on Xbox just because, yeah, I've always like considered that an Xbox game. Anywho. Movie rumblings. This is the shit I usually let my mans handle. Rain Omega. The only thing I got as far as that goes is Margot Robbie is supposed to star in a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. They're keeping it going. Like, holy shit. I don't know if Johnny Depp is out. It'll be interesting to see, like, one of those movies without Jack, because the Jack spiel, it was getting kind of tired, kind of old at this point. And now Hollywood, after Suicide Squad and Harley Quinn and whatnot, let's not even call it Birds of Prey, let's call it Harley Quinn, the Harley Quinn movie. They know Margot Robbie can carry a movie. They got a lot more confidence now, so yeah, it's cool to see. It's supposed to be an all-female cast of main characters, I guess. That's the rumor. Can't wait to hear the complaints on that one. People will surely be complaining about that, but shit, nigga, I'm not gonna complain about saying Margot Robbie in another movie. Fuck that. Stare at that chick all day. What else we got on that tip? I heard a small rumor that Ben Affleck is supposed to be back as Batman in the fucking whatever the hell it is DC is doing at this point. WB is doing with the DC universe at this point. So if he's back and you got all these other Batman projects going on, is Warner Brothers gonna try a Into the Batverse style movie or style storyline going on? Because you're gonna have the older Michael Keaton, you got the Twilight guy over here doing the other movie. I always forget his name, I'm sorry. And then potentially you have Batfleck too. Like, are we gonna get all of these different Batmen in one movie, like, at some point, or at least in the same timeline? Maybe they're going for a fucking Into the Spider-Verse type movie. Like, who knows at this point? They seem to be trying so much and we have no idea what they're doing. There has been, on the other end of the movie comics spectrum, a little bit more info, a few more tidbits on what Marvel is actually doing. The Black Widow movie is officially going to kick off the next phase, and I guess I shouldn't say that. Yeah, I'm gonna leave that alone, because that's like spoiler territory. But I'll just say this, we have more of an idea of where they're going with this new phase and why Black Widow is kicking it off. It makes more sense now that I got, you know, a little bit more information. I'm gonna leave that alone, because if I say it, it gives away too much about the movie. So and yeah, Marvel seems to have a full, concise, like, game plan, like, laid out, and we know where they're going, and we're still excited about it. Meanwhile, over here on DC, they have all of these pieces, moving parts going on. Like, there's a lot of business being done, deals and whatnot, but we have no fucking idea, like, how any of it is going to turn out as a movie. Which is, I guess that's fine. There's some mystery and coolness to that. The more I hear about the Snyder Cut, the more it gets me interested. So there's that. Yeah. Hopefully they can figure this shit out, man, because we've been over it a million times on this show at this point, but fuck, man. DC really needs to get it together. Like, for real. Did I have anything else? I think that's pretty much it. Again, shorter episode this week. I don't know what's going on with Rain Omega. I don't know if he's gonna be back next week or what, or I don't know how long he's gonna be MIA, but I'll try to think of something. Maybe I'll do another solo show. I still haven't done my full Last of Us 2 reanalysis since I played it again, finished it again, enjoyed it again. So maybe I'll get into that sometime this week. The fucking solo podcast is a lot harder to do than I remember it being. You got nobody to fucking bounce jokes and ideas and this, that, and the third off of. You're just pretty much just in a room talking to myself. It's fucking odd as hell. But yeah, hopefully I'll have a better idea. We'll have a better idea what's going on next week. But until then, y'all, I see y'all later. Thanks for listening, by the way. If you did, hopefully this wasn't too weird hearing me ramble by myself. And yeah, I will catch y'all later. Peace.